This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, welcome to the new week. It is Monday, and it's still winter. Wasn't this meant to, like, be done by now?
Oh, don't get me started.
Is it still winter?
This last week, it was like the coldest it's been the entire year.
Yeah. Honestly?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the last bit of the dreaded witch.
Mm. Ah. And dreaded she is.
Ah, so dreaded.
But yeah. Today is not as cold as what it was over the last few days.
No, it really hasn't, thankfully. So it was down, like, I think it was 1 degree on Saturday morning.
Ugh, I didn't even want to look at what the actual temperature was.
It's just been horrible. So anyone have decent weekends despite the chill?
I think it was like Friday night in bed. I actually woke up.
See, let's not get straight to the juicy bits.
No, I wish it was juicy. Halfway through the night, I actually woke up shivering. I was like, what is going on? I had to pull out an extra blanket. It was just, yeah. And that was the theme for the entire weekend. I had no cooking clue what was going on.
See, we just get so excited about the fact that it's going to be the end of winter that we forget that August always has that last little kind of, you know, trump card.
Yeah.
A kick and a punch.
A little kick in the pants.
Mm.
Yeah. So, Mubs, how's the weekend?
It was a pleasant weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hey now.
Lunch dates.
Lunch dates?
Yep. Yeah. Just with friends and stuff. Wow. There was a lot of lunching over this past weekend.
Very good, very good. Sia, how about you?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, I've been keeping to my promise, folks, of I really need something worthwhile to get me out of the house over weekends now, but...
How big?
How thick? What
something
girth?
Meaningful. Something meaningful. And I only got out of the house once this weekend. And my neighbors, I feel like, are now starting to judge me. Because I have a massive white fluffy robe that I just wear the entire weekend straight. And I'll stand on my balcony sometimes and look at my neighbors like peasants, like, look at you all scurrying off in this cold. And they just look up at me like, wear underpants, dude. And they walk off. So, oh well, that's just how my life is in general.
You're becoming a hermit.
Basically.
Well, I was going to go with pervert, but I mean...
Hermit, pervert. Oh, who's really counting?
Do you
here?
Flash in your robe? Because then you'll be taking it to a dangerous level.
I don't flash consciously, but I have realized that.
Oh my God, it opens up.
Yes, it does.
So, yeah, however you get the boys to the yard.
You know what? If really, you think of J Lo's green Versace dress from the Grammys in the early 2000s, remember that one with the low.
You are stretching.
Yeah, cleavage and the high slit. That's how I wear my robes.
Oh my God.
That's just horrifying. Way, hasn't anyone complained?
No, it's comfortable for me.
No, I'm saying the neighbors.
I think they're still coming to terms with it before they actually know your complaints. After the therapy, they'll be coming around at you.
Get out of very there. Pleasant. I just wave at them all the time. And I'm Gareth, a lovely neighbor.
Gareth, you were in helicopters over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, oh, hey now.
I saw on Instagram this morning. That just looked amazing.
I had one really, really awesome little helicopter flip around that whole White River area, which is just beautiful. I mean, it's actually the worst month of the year, but it's the most beautiful part of the country.
Without doubt. I still believe it.
Yeah.
Because of the mountains and the forests and that stuff.
So anyway, we took off and flew over very low over some lakes. There's this one place called, I think it's the Klip Kopje Dam or whatever it is.
Mm.
Flew over that. Then did this, you know, where you kind of turn with the river going anywhere it goes. Then over this really pretty sort of area where there was just unspoiled nature, and then up to this mountain, which is like it's the solitary rock formation in the middle of this area of kind of unspoiled bushveld, and then these very big granite boulders at the top of this rock formation, and it's high. And we flew right up to it and over it, and then came down like a roller coaster.
I was getting quite nervous because you were so close to it.
Oh, it was magnificent!
But helicopters really are amazing machines. Yeah. The way that you can fly, it's incredible.
Well, it almost looks like, if you watch the videos on my Instagram, it almost looks like drone footage.
Yeah, like a really good big drone footage.
But it's the nice thing about those little helicopters is the Robinson is that you've got that bubble around you, so you actually see. Up, down, left, right, forward, and you can obviously look backwards if you want to as well, but it just feels like you're completely open to movement in every direction.
Holy God, it's moly. Beautiful.
And those things just, like, when you go high and then you can just drop straight down.
Oh, man.
It's like a roller coaster of note.
How fast does this thing go?
It's quite quick. You'll see on the one video when we're busy going over a dam. Beautiful. And you just come around and then down, and it's so cool. I love it. So that was part of the weekend. I was also at the main reason I was there was for this Lofelt Literary Festival, which was really cool. Except it was sprung upon me on Friday night that I had to make a speech at the opening cocktail party. I had no idea what to talk about.
So you just drove 4 hours and then they asked you to make a speech.
Well, it was fine. I spoke about the things I care about. So, you know, why books are important. And No, not you, Ben.
No.
Why books are important.
It would have been a great speech. Yeah. Thought it was C.S. Gowan.
And freedom of speech and all that stuff. And then, of course, you know, I had to throw in stuff about C.S. Gowan.
Thank you.
No, I didn't know about that until this morning. Thank God. I think I'm going to be traumatized. And then I did a couple of interviews and discussions, and you know, it was very nice. Such cool people there. Everybody in those places knows everybody in those places. It's a real small town thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Nelspruit's not a tiny little town.
It's actually quite a thriving metropolis when you think how close it is to Mozambique as well.
I think it's the fastest growing town in South Africa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How big is this festival? Because I was seeing, like, I was following on social media, I was like, oh, it's quite eclectic, the people who are there.
Yeah, total mix. There was a very, very interesting author called Athol. His surname escapes me at the moment. Guy who was born in Mitchell's Plain and has written a number of books. He's actually studying at Oxford. And I interviewed Tracy Todd, who remembers the quadriplegic, who had that car accident 19 years ago and raised her child and kind of carried on living her life.
Mm-hmm.
And a very brave, very, very interesting woman. So I spoke to her yesterday. We did a session with him. And then on the Saturday, I was on a sort of panel discussion with Sam Cowan, which was cool too. Oh, so it was really interesting. Lovely. I had the biggest steak I've ever had in my life on Saturday night.
Was it a giant T-bone that looked like a crucifix?
It was bigger. It was prime rib, but it was just enormous. Like, for a vegetarian like Sia, it would have freaked him out.
No.
I had to hold up a fork next to it for comparison, so you could actually get a size, an idea of the size of the thing.
Wait, then how big was this plate? Huge. You're making it.
Well, it wasn't even a plate. It was like a plank of wood. Look at the size of that steak.
That is not normal.
No, look at that, Mubs.
Steak is lost on me. I'm not a huge steak person.
Well, that's not a steak. That's someone's actually just herded something into the kitchen.
Yeah, it's basically three quarters of the
bull. Digestively, how have you gone since that?
Good. Get the meat sweats.
It was me.
But it was funny. Me's. I only ate 2/3 of it. There's no way I could have finished that.
No, of course not. You could have thrown out the stray dogs and the rest of Nelspruit.
I'm going to blow my nose.
Oh, delightful. Okay, there we go.
Amanda, what was going down on the east side of the weekend?
Ben, nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Oh. Yeah, but see, that's the thing. You go, nothing at all, and then you go, so on Friday night we went out.
Yeah.
No.
Did you actually just
Ben.
Stay in?
I don't know, like... I don't know what's happening. I've just lost my touch.
Oh, so you
I need to become friends with like 18-year-olds so they can just put me back on track.
Wow, Amanda.
Oh, my goodness.
Amanda, you're going to become one of those older women, huh? Predatory.
I don't think you should be so hard on yourself, because you, when you go hard, you go hard.
Yeah, no.
So it's fine that, you know, moments, you have some of these moments where you do nothing at all. It's like peaks and troughs. It's fine.
Well, like this weekend was nothing, but then obviously, yeah, like you say, the weekend before that was a bit heavy.
You see.
So.
See, but this show represents a cross section of life. Everyone has these different things, whether it's helicopters and T-bones, terrorizing your neighbors with your genitals, or just having a quiet one in.
I wonder who.
Well, see, I mean, you're definitely in the description, right?
Like,
there.
You want to be seen in your robe like that.
But this last weekend proved to me why I'd never be a parent. I literally do not have the emotional capacity to be a parent.
Oh, you're around children?
No, Meowsers is really ill, and she went missing for like. So Friday, Daniela and Nicole got back last night, right? So Friday I went out for drinks with a friend of mine I haven't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. And I got back and didn't see her again until Sunday evening.
Wait, so which came first? Did she get sick first or did she...
No, she was totally fine. She was helping me rearrange the house because I had the carpets cleaned and I was redecorating for Daniela to come home. And she was cool. She was running around and then I didn't see her. And then turns out she went next door to these people that she goes and sees sometimes. Just hangs out, you know? Basically,
she's not loyal.
She's found a younger version of Daniela and I, and she goes to them from time to time and hangs out.
She's hedging her bets.
Mm. Well, see, the thing is, she always comes back to eat. That's the thing.
Like, yeah, but she thinks you two, something might happen, and then she's got a backup plan.
Well, she keeps moving east, because she started off where she was kind of, like, grew up, and then she went to us, and the building next to us, she's now going there.
The next door building?
Yeah. She just cruises really in there, like, really
close.
She gets
around her. She's a bit of a prostitute.
Yeah, but she got there, and Sure.
Meows is the prostitute.
So these people were like, oh, look, it's that cat who doesn't have a name or a collar, because the cat won't wear a collar. But like, she's been there about 3-4 times, they said, and then every time, like, you know, they just let her out and she comes back to us, because she always eats at us. But she got there on Friday and she didn't move. She was like really unresponsive, and then she was ill. And then eventually they took her to the vet. So it turns out Mouses has a chip in her so that she can actually find out who she belongs to.
What?
Original owner then gets called. Original owner then picks up Mouses. Now, the two of us have been chatting about where she could be. So we've been searching the neighborhood for her, which is kind of making me a nervous wreck. And then, so these people who are now, let's just say couple number three, they took her to the vet. Mouses then went back to the original owner's new house because she moved away.
Uh-huh.
And then she came back to me and she just doesn't eat. She's not drinking. She's all frail. So she's in a real bad way, which then made me in a real bad way. So it's been a horrible weekend, and I'm kind of glad it's Monday.
Ben.
I went and played golf yesterday, trying to get my mind off it. No. I shot like 87. I couldn't hit a ball for shit. It was a really like a rough weekend.
That is pretty horrible.
Yeah. So she's like,
so you're
going
to have to take her back to the vet?
Well, yeah, today. Well, I'm going to get home off the show and just check up on her again. But
what
she's
did
not,
they say is wrong with her?
She's not eating something. Like, she literally has, she's lost weight. Like, she's quite a small cat to start with. But she's not eating. She's been drinking. She has a bit of water.
Mm.
But for her not to eat, that's like a big issue.
Cats are so weird, though. I remember we had a cat when we were growing up, and she would just go away for like weeks at a time and
I
then just reemerge.
Yeah, that's what cats do.
And so what's her mindset? Does she think like maybe her home is broken now that Danielle is always traveling? So she's just like, nope, let me find a new couple.
They don't care. Yeah, to cats, they own everything. So the whole world is their house.
Yeah, they're not too particular about things. They're just
and the humans that you happen to get your sustenance from are just very lucky to have you.
Yeah.
No, cats don't really care about anyone except cats.
But she literally has been eating those every single day for years. And I watched a thing on National Geographic about where your cats go. They put transmitters on them. This one cat walked like 2 kilometers just to go hang out for like 20 minutes and they walked back. 2 kilometers.
No, they covered large distances.
Cat legs? That's like 20 kilometers for us.
But like, and how they show affection to you, regardless though, they show affection as if you mean the world to them. Meanwhile, they
and
can...
And 2 minutes later, they don't give
a
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
She's
cats.
Always affectionate to me.
She likes Ben.
She likes me. Anyways.
All right, it's time for news.
It is. Five things you need to know with Buddy Malloy, brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria.
That's
Gareth,
right.
Is the 2-for-1 still going? Is this the final time?
It is. This is the last week, I think. There might be, because there's still 2 days of next week that are August.
Well, 28th of August, I think that's going to be the last one.
All right, so today is the second last day you can get their special.
Okay, so don't risk it. Go this week. Go today.
No, go today. You have to get it now, which means you can get buy one pizza, get one free. the cheaper the pizzas you do not have to pay for. How's that?
It's on the gourmet menu, so stacked full of ingredients that Garrett doesn't care for, but normal people do. Great pizza, and that'll be every Monday. Otherwise, get onto the app and earn those slices and redeem your pizzas. Wow, it's just so much.
Very nice. All right, Mubs, what do you got?
What's going on?
Well, what you need to know is that the Competition Commission have now decided to join in the Data Must Fall movement.
Oh.
Yes, they have set in motion in a market inquiry into data services. And the inquiry aims to determine what may cause or lead to high data prices, with a view to ultimately make recommendations that will result in lower prices for us as the people who use these kinds of services. So, welcome to Data Must Fall, Competition Commission.
I hate to say I told you so, but this time last year.
Yeah, ICASA already also in there. So, you know, people want to make a difference with this whole data situation. And we deserve it. Now, I don't know what you would do if you reached your 100th birthday. How would you celebrate?
Well, none of your friends are alive.
Okay.
What would you do?
Drink.
All right. See, I would drink. Ben, you would?
Prostitutes.
Okay, Ben would prostitute.
Oh,
Ben would get prostitutes, I understand.
Yes, because it's 100 years. Oh.
Well, one Cape Townian woman went skydiving for her 100th birthday.
Uh-oh.
Yes, she did. Georgina Harwood jumped off a plane to celebrate her 100th birthday, plummeting to Earth at over 200 kilometers per hour with the wind rushing through her hair and bursts of adrenaline going through her body. Take that. 100 years old, and she went skydiving, and she loved it. And no, she didn't die, because I know you got a little bit nervous there. No, she did not die.
I would have
been very nervous about dropping a 100-year-old woman down.
Of course she loved it. She thought she was playing bingo.
Listen, there's still a lot of young adults who haven't gone skydiving, so I do think that it's pretty interesting that this 100-year-old has just ticked that off her list.
Oh, good for her. Hell, that's exciting.
That is exciting, yeah.
There's also a young adult that we know that hasn't committed to bungee jumping yet.
Oh, yes, that's right. His year of yes is more on the year of...
Let me get back to you.
Maybe.
Doesn't have the same ring to it, does it, Sue?
Year of yes also means saying yes to saying no, by the way, because I don't want my heart to stop. Then we'll be a life of goodbye. All
right. Okay.
All right. So a lot was happening in the news over the weekend, and we will get into all those stories after 7 o'clock with regards to Grace Mugabe and, you know, Zimbabwe, South Africa. But I didn't know that SAA had grounded flights in Zimbabwe, and that Zimbabwe did the same thing. There were no flights moving between South Africa and Zimbabwe over the past weekend.
Oh.
And this follows an SAA plane being barred from leaving Harare International Airport on Saturday over non-compliance. That's all it was. SAA then took the decision to cancel all flights between South Africa and Zim for the whole of Saturday. On Friday, South Africa grounded an Air Zimbabwe plane after it was found not to be in compliance with civil aviation rules. But anyway, SAA spokesperson Tladi Tladi had said that operations would have been back to normal by Sunday, and indeed flights between the two countries are now have now resumed. So it's not just in politics.
I like that.
That SAA and Zimbabwe have been causing news headlines, also in aviation.
SAA are going to cite this as the reason why they've lost 300 million this month.
I don't know. They've always got some other excuse. Yes, so we all went through what we got up to over the weekend. I didn't know that yesterday was World Laziness Day. Did you know that?
Really?
Yep. Colombians,
I wish I'd known. I could have taken greater advantage of being lazy.
I wish I would have known too, because
I was up at 8 o'clock. I was running around.
Colombians celebrated World Laziness Day in full force yesterday in the city of Itagüí. What they do is they haul mattresses and hammocks out onto the streets, and they basically just sleep the whole day.
Nice.
That's what they do. It's a quirky effort to urge overstressed workers to slow down. World Laziness Day has been held annually since 1985. Guys, where have we been? In the small city of some 200,000 in northwestern Colombia. So yeah, there were tons of pictures on social media yesterday of people just lying on their mattresses and hammocks out in the street in broad daylight, reading a book, listening to music, nibbling on a snack. Yep.
World Laziness Day. Beautiful.
Yep.
All right.
So I'll get into more news headlines after seven.
Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. What do you got for us this morning, Ben?
Well, Gareth, there's a fair amount of rugby, there's a fair amount of football, there was cricket and golf, but let's start with the rugby and the Springboks. Well, for the fourth straight game, I mean, how's this for consistency? This is how the last four games have gone. They've won 37-14, 37-15, 35-12, and 37-15. So they're twice as good as their opponents every time, and then some. Argentina, otherwise known as the Jockey Wadith in a blue and white jersey, they came out to PE. They weren't that great. They got a pretty lucky try in the first half, and, well, the box there. See, the problem is everybody watched this match after watching New Zealand, which is never a good thing. That's like watching like a Miss World and then going to a Stones and trying to pick up chicks. Like, it's a bit of a step down.
Yeah.
So as much as the box, there's a lot of positives to be drawn here, and this team did look pretty good. The forwards had a great game, in particular that front five. They really dominated. The bench made a big impact. The backs, well, they were maybe a bit average in places, but the forward pack was good, so let's just work on that one, because now, after the 37-15 win over Argentina, they are now first win. Now they go to Salta, which is going to be a mission. So basically, it's the Amazing Race rugby version, but we'll get into the geography of that tomorrow. But yeah, all eyes were essentially on New Zealand earlier in the game, in the day. They beat Australia 54-34. They were 40-6 up at halftime. I think that's the problem with rugby right now, sport in general, is that guys, you know, they'll play the crap out of a team, and then they go, well, we've got to rest everyone from here. And it just ruined the game, because firstly, Australia, obviously they're useless, right? 40-6 after halftime. They scored a point a minute in an international test match between essentially the first and third best team in the world. Now, that's not like a game, but it also isn't a game when New Zealand just make a different team play the second half, and then the Aussies come back. So it was a very interesting kind of first weekend in rugby championship, but it told us what we already know. Everyone is fighting for second, and right now the Springboks look like they might be the best, second best team. That's rugby championship. Sorry, I really can't talk it up more than that. Yano Fumok does come in for Ross Crinier, who injured his ankle in that match, unfortunately. So that was the only kind of the one major injury concern for that. In cricket news, well, we've seen this coming for a long time now. England 514-8 declared against the Windies, the West Indies. The West Indies, in response, well, they might as well not even bother playing. They were lost by an innings and 209 runs at Edgbaston with a pink ball. The Windies could only manage 168 and 137 in their two innings in response to England's 514. It's really, no one wins here. Absolutely nobody wins here. England aren't getting any sort of practice or tune-up for the Ashes. Their players are having their stats inflated for no real reason. And the Windies, well, you know, these guys, like, how demoralizing must it be? You go out there, you know you're going to lose. Not only that, the eyes of the cricketing world are watching you get absolutely hammered, like thrashed to death. Like, this is called flogging the dead horse of cricket. It really is. The Windies have nothing at this level. Absolutely nothing. They can be competitive in the shorter formats of the game where their mercenaries generally do play for their nation. But in Test cricket, they haven't got the patience, they haven't got the application, they haven't got the resources. As simple as that. Test cricket is a rich man's game, and that is why you'll only have like the big teams like India, England, Australia, who will always be at the fore. And sad, but SA aren't in those top three right now. Alistair Cook, he was man of the match. He scored 243 runs. So he scored more than the West Indies did in both their occasions. Root also had a big 100. And then Stuart Broad, he went on to become the second highest wicket taker for England in all Test matches. In football news, Chelsea, they had a great win yesterday against Spurs. Spurs continuing that whenever you play at Wembley as a Premier League team, you do not do well. Arsenal also had a horrible time there. 2-1 Chelsea, a massive result after losing to Burnley last week. Arsenal, they lost to Stoke. Some people call it the Stoke choke. They always seem to lose against those guys. Man United, another 4-0 win, this time against Swansea away in Wales. And then Liverpool, they won. They beat Crystal Palace 1-0. If you're a Newcastle fan, well, sadly for you, they lost again. It's time to Huddersfield Town. Locally, there was the big match between the defending champs Wits and Cape Town City. And Cape Town City won it 1-0. Wits missed a penalty early on. And even though they were a much better team on the day, they went down. So Benny McCarthy with a big first win there in the Premier League. Sundowns, they beat Supersport 2-0 in the Tshwane Derby, and that was pretty much the most exciting thing. Bloem Celtic drew with Kaizer Chiefs 1-1, so Chiefs fans, well, it looks like another rough season. This is the way it's going to start. And that was pretty much it, Gareth. The golf wasn't exactly exciting. The Solheim Cup, the American woman won that, but that was to be expected. And actually, Henrik Stenson, he won again the Wyndham Championship, which means he goes into the FedEx Cup playoffs with some sort of momentum after a pretty quiet year.
All right. Well, that's good enough for me this morning. Thank you, Ben. That's good. Monday stuff, and let's get to Anthony and see what's going on with your money. There's a lot to catch up on a Monday morning. Anthony actually, she comes in here because there's so much to catch up on. She doesn't mess around like the rest of the week. She's always busy with other stuff. Monday, she has to come here just so that we can pick up on what's going on. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth. And we really are busy, slap bang in the middle of reporting season. So there are lots of companies reporting. I mean, we've been watching the trading updates regularly, but now we're all sitting there really going through the numbers in depth to see what really, really is going on, not just kind of top line.
I mean, this is interesting because what you're really doing is if you're looking at all these different reports and you'll take something out of all of them, you're really doing a survey of the economy.
Absolutely. We're taking the temperature of the economy and saying, where is it good? Where is it bad?
All right, let's start with where is it bad? Retail.
Retail's not great. Retail is really struggling, unfortunately. The miners are struggling. Well, in retail, we had Truett's report last week, and then we've got a whole lot of reports this week. But for the miners, we had Exxaro, Harmony Gold, Goldfields, Sibanye Gold put out a trading statement. So we can really see what's happening there kind of in depth. And it's difficult, you know. I mean, last week, the market was up about 0.33%. But let me tell you, if it wasn't for Naspers' 5% gain, we would have been in negative territory. And you know, Naspers now makes up 20% of the broader index on the JSE, like one share. I mean, I believe it's not as bad as Denmark, where two shares make up 50% of the market, I've been told.
Yeah.
But that's not great. And if you're managing to a benchmark, or if you're trying to kind of figure out whether you want to go active or passive investments, it's a fairly difficult decision to make, because even if you are a passive investor and you just buy an index, for example, it's all great when Naspers is going up.
Yeah.
But guess what? One stock turns and that's your whole portfolio that turns.
Absolutely.
And the problem with passive investing is that you don't then go in and re-weight, like I'm an active investor, right? So if I decide that Naspers is going to turn, I would then underweight Naspers in my portfolio and say, you know what, I don't need a 20 or 25% weight in my portfolio. I can have zero in it, or a 2% or a 5%, whatever it is. I mean, I had such an interesting conversation on Friday with one of the big global bank strategists, and I don't want to say which global bank because they're very particular about getting their name out. Or getting their research out. But she was saying that in South Africa, you know, you would have thought that we would have done worse, or that the rand would have been weaker, or that our bonds would have come sold off a lot more, considering we got downgraded, we're in a recession, politics is a shambles. But actually, she has got data and graphs to drown in. And she was showing me that actually the inflows from passive managers, global passive managers, is exactly what's keeping the South African market afloat, or keeping it in positive territory, because they are indiscriminately buying South Africa.
Wow.
So they have a tiny percentage in their portfolio. You know, South Africa makes up 0.7% or something ridiculous of the world's global GDP.
Yeah.
But when they do buy those indices, they just buy them because, well, it's in the index, and they're actually not trying to decide whether Brazil is better than Venezuela or Russia or Turkey.
So it's not because we're fantastic.
No, it's just because it's just because we're in the index. Of course, if we get downgraded by S&P and we move into junk status, this very famous WGBI, the World Global Bond Index or whatever it's called, we fall out of that. That's like what everyone's concerned about. And then actually they have to sell, and that's when it goes horribly pear-shaped.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so we don't really want to be downgraded. We're okay for now, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, shall we talk about some shares? So on Friday, the resource sector was down 0.25%. But the gold managed to hold their own. So Harmony was up 9, Goldfields was up 5, partly because gold is now heading to $1,300 an ounce. So all this nonsense with North Korea and Trump is really helping spot gold price. You know the story there. I'm not going to go through that again, right, about it being a safe haven metal. But also, Goldfields and Harmony reported last week, and it's such an interesting for both of them, so we can do a quick comparison. Gold production was flat, whereas in Harmony, they did manage to surpass their annual guidance just barely. Goldfields is an interesting one. Even though they produced the same amount of gold, they had actually processed higher tonnage, but a 5% lower yield. So I think, it's fairly obvious that this was going to happen, right? I mean, when did we start mining gold in South Africa? In the 1800s or something? Was it 1800s?
Late 1800s, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And obviously now, like, a lot of that gold has been extracted out of the earth already. And so now you need to process a lot more earth or a lot more rock, mm-hmm, to get less gold.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we saw with Goldfields. And then just fundamentally, both of them were cash flow negative. So that's not great. Harmony by 116 million rand. And Goldfields had an $83 million outflow, cash outflow. And then, of course, this impacted quite negatively on their net debt. So Harmony's net debt was actually reduced by 887 million rand. And this is interesting. Oh. And the reason for that, though, is because they do hedging. And
right.
Harmony's been famous for hedging. They've always done it. And it's obviously working for them. The interesting thing, though, is that their currency hedge has now come to an end, whereas their gold hedge still runs until the financial full year 18. So we've got another 12 months or so. Yeah, 12 months of reported 12 months of their gold hedge still being in place. Whereas Goldfields, their net debt increased by, listen to this number, $1.4 billion.
Oh my God, you're worried about
your mortgage and your car and your... Can you imagine? That's horrible.
Imagine being in control at Goldfields and you're looking at those kind of numbers.
That horrible debt number.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not... It's
and that's not
awful.
That they've incurred more debt. That's that their net debt just increased.
Yeah. That's right. That their cash flow has been...
Oh, my God. What about Exxaro?
Yeah. So Exxaro's, it's an okay story. Headline earnings per share was up 4%. They paid a nice little 3 rand interim dividend, effectively yielding 5.5%. And in this environment, that's not bad. Strong free cash flow generation, which was a nice surprise. And there, everything really was driven by coal. So in a world of renewable energy and
there's still some companies that just do coal. Good
benefiting,
old coal.
Benefiting, not just doing right. it, but benefiting from coal.
Right.
And then Sibanye put out a trading statement. Here's a company that looks very different to a year ago, I must tell you.
Yeah.
So lucky for them, they're being held up by this gold price that's kind of marching towards $1,300 an ounce. But they put out normalized loss per share is expected to be 65 cents. I mean, compare this to last year.
They were the shining light of this.
I know. Remember how excited
index,
I was about them last year?
Of this portfolio of different companies that deal with gold.
And we've been holding on because we really like them. Neil Frum, and remember, they were expanding. They weren't just going into gold. They were buying platinum. But actually, the Stillwater... platinum mine in the US has cost them, so that was expensive. They've had to do a rights issue. Funding costs have increased. It's just a little bit messy at the moment. And we have got them in our portfolio because we like to have a little bit of a gold hedge, and that was a nice one to have. But I'm rethinking my investment thesis, to be honest. I'm just rethinking it.
Okay.
I always give you a heads up before. I really shouldn't. I should,
you should just do it.
Wait until exactly.
All right, and Bidvest.
Yeah, did you see this announcement on Friday afternoon after the market closed? They haven't reported results, but Brian Joffe has resigned with immediate effect.
What? Now, that's quite a big deal because he's almost like a god in that company.
He is exactly that. He started it, he built it up into one of the biggest companies in the country, and he's gone. And I think you could probably have expected it because he sold quite a few shares a couple of weeks ago. The question, of course, is now what is he going to do? Like, listen, I don't think Brian Joffe's the retiring kind, right?
But hasn't he already started
There we go. Long for Life.
There we go.
So Long for Life have already bought Sorbet and Hold Sport, and they've announced that they've got a third acquisition on the table. They just haven't told us what it is. But it's, I mean, it's not like Long for Life. It's a 2 billion rand company. It's not a huge company, is it? I guess it's like a hobby for him, like a retirement hobby, I guess. Nice hobby. I want
to
do that.
Yeah, and he wants to grow it. So he's going to start from that. That's still a big company. It's not small. Come on.
2 billion rand. It's
yes,
tiny.
It's it's bigger than what billions. I'm doing.
Okay. And then lastly, we have to talk about education.
All right.
Because Advitech and Curo reported last week. I've already told you about Advitech's results, right? So last week I told you. But Curo, I haven't mentioned yet. Headline earnings per share up 22%. Revenue up 24%. They are now making R1 billion every 6 months.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So that's a decent business then, eh?
Yeah.
We're going to go with that.
A bit of an understatement.
Well,
decent.
This is where, you know, the market can always be trusted to find solutions to problems. So we've got a shitty education department who provide shitty education to our children in South Africa. And parents aren't going to stand for that. Even parents who can't afford hugely expensive private fees will find a way, whatever it takes, to make sure their children are better off than them. And they will put them into good schools and they'll put them into private education. And they'll pay what is required.
I did think about that exactly what you said now about how private businesses find solutions for what government isn't doing. I did think you guys were doing it, actually, as is Curo. And so that's very interesting. I mean, like, as a share, do we want to own it? It is on a 65 times 12-month forward price earnings ratio. That is not cheap. Thing with Curo, though, since it's listed, it's always traded on this exaggerated fundamental price earnings ratio. But the question is there more runway? Can it keep growing? Can it grow into its earnings? Can it grow into its price earnings ratio? I'm inclined to think if you have the share, hold onto it. If you don't, maybe buy Advitech. I would go with that as an investment thesis. And there's a couple of other things. You know, Curo's also now gone into tertiary education. We spoke about this, 6 months ago, whenever. Uh-huh. They said that they're now going to separately list their tertiary education business. It's called Stadio. And there may actually be some value unlock in that as well. So if you do own the shares, I'd say hold on to them.
Well, Advitech has performed very well for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy I got that in the portfolio.
One of my better stock picks.
All right. Thanks, Anthea.
My pleasure.
Busy week ahead.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, we'll check in with Anthea every morning at about the same time, and you can get your daily dose of the money shot. Right now, let's hand over to Sia Sangweni and see what he's got for us in Said by Sia.
Well, it is a Monday, and you might be recovering from quite a busy and hectic weekend.
Right.
So this little bit of research might help you go through the day. And it is, a nap could actually be good for you.
Hell, of course it. I love a nap. Who doesn't love a nap?
Especially afternoon naps. Yo. Let's see if your boss could take you seriously when you bring this info to him or her.
Yeah?
So supposedly, afternoon naps can improve short-term memory in younger adults and perhaps not older people. But for older folks, here's a thing as well. Afternoon naps can also lower your blood pressure. So a decrease in blood pressure can be identified in afternoon naps, and this is because just of the chillaxation of everything. That's a new word as well. The old age idea is that sleep is a restorative process and it does good things for the body, says Michael Scullin, who's a sleep psychologist at a university in Texas. So sleep, especially in deep sleep, has been linked to memory consolidation and health in college age adults, but other adults have shallower, more fragmented sleep, so it's unclear whether they get the same benefits from sleeps that younger adults do. So listen, whether you are a young adult or whether you're slightly older, there's even more proof that afternoon naps are good for you. We don't exactly know whether you will now be sitting
at
your
desk. Have you ever met anyone who said, I have had too much sleep. I can't, this is just too much sleep for me.
No.
Ever? Have you ever met anyone who's gone, too much sleep, just hours and hours and hours, and I can't sleep a minute more.
Not yet.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yet to meet someone.
So will we now have, like, you know, lunch breaks at 12, then at 2 we all have afternoon naps at the office soon?
I think it's a very healthy thing to do.
Isn't that what they do in Spain with their siesta?
Yeah.
Arianna Huffington does this trend as well.
Yeah, sleep is totally underrated. It is the only... First of all, what it does for your memory is while you're sleeping, your brain files its memories.
Mm.
So if you find that you're not very good at remembering people's names or the details of meetings, or it could just be that you're not getting enough sleep. Because people who sleep enough, they store memory better. You give your brain a chance to download and clear out its old files. And it also throws away the stuff you don't need anymore. So it's a very healthy process to sleep for your brain. And also for the rest of your body, it restores itself.
And we have little dips in the day anyway. You know, right. You can say you work, so many hours. But you have to admit, after a long day, if you have a 3 o'clock meeting, you sometimes sit there going, okay, I am done. But an app could change that. Let's see. But lower blood pressure and also improving your memory as well. That is what afternoon naps can do for you.
I like it. Okay. It's 5 minutes to 7. We'll get into some news in a moment or two. We'll take your calls. You know what to do. 0861-555-189. Tell us what's on your mind. And we will also get to a very interesting lineup of things this morning, including Brent Lindekew popping by, because he, along with Andrew, his partner, they're in the brand new My Kitchen Rules, South Africa. I saw the promo for this last night. And I guarantee you he'll be the most interesting person on that show. I mean, we're biased, obviously, we love him, but he's going to be the most interesting dude on that show, and it's a great show, and I mean, I don't like these cooking shows, but this one is fun. These people, they gossip behind each other's backs. It looks like they're making incredible food. I hate these shows because I can't taste the food. That's why it drives me crazy.
Never watch it on an empty stomach, it's the worst.
I didn't know that Brent and Andrew could cook like that.
So we're getting behind our own.
Yeah, and then they're going to reward us with a meal one day.
That's the catch.
Are we all going to Brent and Andrew's house sometime soon?
Yeah, if we're invited, sure.
Well,
I don't care about the invitation.
Yeah, we're just going to pitch up. We're going to pitch up like squatters. Just arrive.
Yeah. Hello.
Brent will look through that peephole and see Sia and go, shit, let's pretend we're not home.
Hello.
You know, I've got a problem with that, by the way. I parked my car outside the garage. I don't put it in the garage.
Oh, so they
know. So people know whether I'm home or not. Mm. And then I can't pretend I'm not home.
Ooh.
And if it's your community something, or they're trying to have a meeting, yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Use the remaining portion of your brain to think.
Yeah, all right. Oh, okay, thank you. You're exactly right, Julius.
Drive into the garage. That's how we ignore them all. I can look down on people walking up to my front door.
And you can quickly hide.
Yeah.
That's very good.
So I just put the TV on mute. I have ignored my neighbors like that. They are quite annoying.
You must. You must ignore people that you don't want to deal
with. You know what we should all do? We should have those signs like you have in a hotel room that say, please do not disturb.
Yes.
And, or, yeah.
Don't you think that would be cool? Especially in complexes and apartment blocks. And
like a giant one, like the front of your house.
Yeah. There's a big sign saying, do not disturb. Or even fuck off.
I have a neighbor of mine who's a journalist and he's a sports reporter. So that means he works these odd hours where he's awake at night watching some match that's happening.
Is he well known?
In
is
India.
He like, is he on TV?
No. So for him, whenever he sees me come home, he's just like, oh, great. Now I have someone to talk to because he's been awake this, you know, these odd times. I'm like, no, dude, close the blinds, lock the door, TV on mute. That's it, done.
You know, we're horrible people. We just got to keep chasing people away from us, right? Oh, it's horrible.
This is CliffCentral.com.